This is a serious academic work, a little bit of a departure from many of your books, which were, you know, smaller volumes with a lot of pictures and captions. But what possessed you to write this really detailed chronology of Roanoke in the 1940s?
Well, the kind of go-to reference has always been Raymond Barnes's History of the City of Roanoke, which actually ends in 1940. What I have found over the years is that what was really needed was a history then that brought everything forward. But I really wanted to go into more detail and to really go decade by decade and to not just do the city of Roanoke, but to also do the Roanoke Valley, so inclusive of Roanoke County, Salem, and Benton. And you're exactly right, Gene. This is a much larger work than what I've ever done before. It's counting the index. It's well over 600 pages. It does have 300 vintage photographs in it of things in the valley during that particular decade.
By the way, with the photographs, where did you access them, Nelson? And did you get some photographs from regular folks around town?
I sure did. I used all of the historical societies in the Roanoke Valley, as well as Roanoke College, Hollins University, and then municipalities, the city library, the water authority. But I also had public scanning sessions where members of the public could come in and bring photographs, and many did. And those that did will see their photographs in this book.
What's unique or what's special about the 40s? Was it in what ways, Nelson, was it sort of a turning point in Roanoke on certain issues?
Well, I think Roanoke was like many communities during this particular decade. Obviously, it was impacted by the Second World War. And so for us here in the Roanoke Valley, we had the major expansion of the airport into Woodrum Field. Carvin's Cove Reservoir filled up and came online as a major reservoir for the valley. Victory Stadium was constructed. We had post-war boom in municipal projects and in downtown construction and retail, and then just the general effect that the way the war affected the ordinary lives of citizens through rationing and through other things. But it's also fascinating, Gene, in all of the big-time entertainers that came through the Roanoke Valley during that time, radio and film and music stars. And so all of that is captured in the book, as well as what is the beginning of the civil rights movement in the Roanoke Valley. And so I include a civil rights timeline as an appendix in the book.
When you say the beginning of the civil rights movement, whether protests or sit-ins or actions taken by city council, what was the beginnings of the civil rights movement in Roanoke?
Sure. Well, we had, for example, African-Americans beginning to actively protest having to sit at the back of the bus. African-American teachers lobbying for equal pay. We had African-American civic organizations coming into existence to advocate for municipal projects in their particular neighborhoods. And we had then the burgeoning civil rights movement in terms of its leadership. And so we had people like physicians, educators that began to advocate for the end of the poll tax, which was discriminatory. Again, equal pay, equal access to municipal facilities. And so all of that really begins to lay the groundwork for the civil rights movement, not just in Roanoke, but really in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Thurgood Marshall came to Roanoke to announce that the NAACP was going to file suit against the University of Virginia and take on desegregation county by county in Virginia. So we had not only local personalities kind of coming into the forefront, but we also had national civil rights leaders coming to Roanoke. And so it was a very dynamic time.
Just a couple more questions. We're talking with Nelson Harris, the author of The Roanoke Valley in the 1940s. All this information, the chronological information, the actual details, where is all that information stored?
Gene, I literally read every edition of the Roanoke Times from January 1st, 1940 through January 1st, 1950. And so I literally sat in my basement with a microfilm reader, courtesy of the Virginia Room, and just harvested from the Roanoke Times, as well as leading African-American newspapers in Virginia to kind of supplement what was in the Roanoke Times. And I would have to add, this would not have been possible without the support of the Roanoke Public Library Foundation, which actually funded the work and allowed me the access to the microfilm to be able to do the research.
The book is Roanoke Valley in the 1940s. This is a serious work, like you said, over 600 pages, kind of a reference work. Who do you think, Nelson, would enjoy this book? Who would want to have this on their shelf?
Well, I think, first of all, anybody that is really interested in local history is going to find this, I think, a very exciting work. It covers everything, not just the major happenings in the Roanoke Valley, but, you know, when the circuses would come to town, when somebody would open up a barber shop, when a business would move or relocate or merge. So it's everything from business and entertainment, religion, politics, transportation, crime. The odd and the unusual is all in this book, especially for people that grew up in that era, in that decade, that were maybe, you know, today would be in their 80s or whatever, but remember that. But I think for anybody that's interested in local history, they're going to find this a very interesting work.
I did want to ask you about that. For some older folks, this maybe will evoke some memories, even small memories.
Oh, I think so. I mean, I've dedicated the book to my dad, who was born in 1937. He's been a lifelong Roanoker, and I gave him an initial copy of the book. He is not a reader. He would not mind me saying that. But he went through it, and it just brought back so many memories of names he remembered, of businesses and stores and schools and events that he remembered as a kid that really he'd kind of forgotten about. He was just really engrossed in kind of that walk down memory lane.
Flipping through the book, and I came on a random page. You're the former mayor, city council member in Roanoke. 1945, city council approves a budget a little over $3 million with a $5 raise for city employees. Of course, that was in 1945 dollars, but sort of a different world, huh?
Very different world. Very different world, particularly when you're looking at automobiles costing $800, you know, new on the lot and that kind of thing. So, yeah, different times, different era, but laid the groundwork for so much that we enjoy and have in the Roanoke Valley today.
Let me ask you one more question. When you were researching the book, Nelson, we're talking with Nelson Harris, the author of The Roanoke Valley in the 1940s, was there anything that surprised you, anything that maybe you didn't know about that you felt better about or worse about Roanoke after you finished researching this book?
Well, one of the things that I personally did not know that much about was, and I'm going to refer back to the kind of the burgeoning civil rights movement here in Roanoke. Another thing was just the amount of entertainers that came through. I mean, from national symphonies coming into town, stars of the Grand Ole Opry coming to the Roanoke Theater on almost every Wednesday night, major actors and actresses of film and stage coming to perform at the Academy of Music. I really was blown away by the fact that Roanoke was obviously on the radar screen for so much of